Shalom, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm fine. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, thank God. Always good, always good.
That's good. Parashat Vayechi.
Parashat Vayechi. You know, it's interesting because we see that this is the end of the first book of the Torah, the first book, Genesis.
Bereshit.
Right. And, you know, there's a tradition that when a person concludes a book of Torah or of the Talmud, that we hold a siyum, which is a celebration marking a successful conclusion of an entire section of the Torah.
Yeah.
And you know, at these occasions, it's customary for the person who's doing it to deliver, you know, a small talk where he or she can connect the beginning of the book with the end, and thus, you know, obviously revealing that there's a thread that runs through the whole work. And the work, and this week's parasha, which is Vayechi, concludes the entire book of Genesis.
Yeah.
And the question is, what connection can we find between the beginning and the end of the first book of the Torah? Because we see that the first part of the book tells us the story of creation. However, the end deals with the passing of Jacob, and the children of Israel are now down in Egypt. So, let's, I guess, analyze just for a little bit is, what is creation? It's not just the Big Bang or even an intellectual design, but it's an expression of a much higher and deeper purpose. And the mystics teach us that God was not content to have angels in heaven singing his praises. He wanted earthly beings, man, men, women, of flesh and of blood, with earthly passions and temptations, living physical lives, who will nevertheless be capable to rise above the moment to experience this spiritual purpose of it all. And he desired human beings who would be exposed to all the distractions associated with the physical conditions. You know, from beach holidays to December sales, but we still have to be able to remain focused on the spiritual aspects.
Yeah.
And when we endow our material lives with spiritual value, with a sense of higher purpose, meaning destiny and eternity, then we fulfill the Creator's original plan, which was to bring heaven down to earth and to build a home for God in the physical world below. So, in this lies, I think, the connection of the beginning of the book of the Torah with its ending. Because to be a good Jew in the Holy Land is one thing. To remain holy and heavenly in, you know, the physical aspects, Egypt, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Because Egypt represents the epitome of descendants of a person going in that specific period of time. Because for the children of Israel to go there and still remain faithful to God, to a godly way of life, is bringing heaven down to earth in a huge manner. And to live an upright moral life and in a society to be able to validate and to justify the whole idea of creation and the Creator's decision to bring into existence moral beings, that we have the freedom and we have the choice to decide how we want to live our lives. And perhaps if you think about it, this is the reason Jacob chose to bless the children of Joseph, of his son. He chose to bless those two kids, Ephraim and Manasseh, with the words, which, by the way, this is something that we say every Friday night when we give the blessing to our children, to our sons.
Yeah.
We say, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh.
Yeah.
And indeed, this is, you know, obviously the traditional blessing that we give our children, that they should grow up like Ephraim and Manasseh. But why? Why should Jacob promise that for the Jews in the future, that they would bless their children to be like Joseph's children? Why not that they should be like his own children, the 12 tribes of Israel? Why is he blessing them like his two grandchildren? And one answer that I remember seeing is that all of the 70 children and grandchildren of Jacob that are mentioned in the Torah, Ephraim and Manasseh were the only ones that were born in Egypt and to have lived there all their lives. And Jacob knew that in generations to come, Jews again will be wandering through their own Egypt, their own exiles. And he understood that Jewish history was destined to be filled with a lot of challenges, hostility. So thus, he thought, the role models for young Jews would need to be people like Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born, not only born, but bred in Egypt, and yet remained faithful to the traditions of Jacob. And they still lived their righteous Jewish lives when they were in Egypt.
Yeah.
Now, you know, our generation, or our kids' generations now, you know, you have the iPods, and the Xboxes and the this boxes and all the different things, and we need to, you know, they need to be able to have the heroes that they can relate to in order for them to be able to be inspired by an example. And Joseph's boys negotiated the trickery turf of the Egyptian palace, in other words, Pharaoh. Nevertheless, they never forgot who they really were. So when we have kids, children, who were born in Canada, who were born in the U.S., outside of the Holy Land, outside of the holy place,
In the diaspora,
we still need to be spiritually connected to the created heavenly way. Then, only then, will we be able to make the dwelling place for God in the lower realms for which the whole world was created for in the first place. So in order for us to fulfill the mission and what God wants us to do when He created the world, we have to have this lesson of Jacob when he blessed in the last part of this week's Torah portion, the last book, that he blessed his children, his grandchildren, that the Jews should be like Ephraim and Manasseh. That we should remember that even though we are in exile, our kids are in exile, we have to be a living example to be able to bring them, that they should have the awareness that even though that they are in exile, that they should be able to still be connected to spirituality, to godliness. And that's been a very, very important lesson. That's how we see one of the ways how there are many ways, but this is one of the ways of how we see how the beginning of the Torah has a connection to the end of the book.
Yeah.
And going a little bit on a different note from the parasha, today, Thursday, the 5th of January, is a fast day, the 10th day of Tevet.
Yeah.
And
so why do we fast on the 10th of Tevet?
So the 10th of Tevet is in the year of 3336, the year of that from creation, which was, I believe, 425 BCE. The armies of the Babylonian emperor, Nebuchadnezzar, laid siege to Jerusalem. And 30 months later, on the ninth day of Tammuz, the city walls were breached, and on the ninth of Av of that year, the Holy Temple was destroyed.
Yeah.
And the Jewish people were exiled to Babylonia for 70 years. So the 10th of Tevet is observed as a day of fasting, of mourning, of repentance, We refrain, obviously, from food and from drink. This is a shorter fast. It's easier. It's from daybreak to nightfall. And we're also, it's very interesting to note that the 10th day of Tevet, most recently, it was chosen also to serve as a general Kaddish day for the victims of the Holocaust, many of those who we don't know exactly when they passed away or when they were murdered, when they were killed. So we don't know the day of their real, true yahrzeit.
Yeah.
And this is a day that is marked as a day of Kaddish, as a day of martyrdom.
Yeah.
And it's a day of us to be able to re-energize and sort of re-evaluate our contribution and our way of life and how we're going to live life in a spiritual sense, that even though, and we connected, it's amazing how we can connect it to this week's Torah portion, even though we are in exile in the diaspora in Egypt, we still have this way of to be able to become spiritually energized and to make a place for godliness, that God should come down, and with that he will rebuild the final Beit HaMikdash temple that will never be destroyed, and we'll see godliness once again. And so that is the Atzeret B'Tevet, the 10th day of Tevet.
Okay, and services at Shaarei Tzedek.
Services Friday evening, 6 o'clock, and the Shabbat morning, 9 o'clock. So it's open to the entire community, and everyone is welcome.
That's great. So Rabbi, thank you.
Thank you, and God willing, we will talk next week.
God willing. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Be well.
Be well.